5 years on from the near collapse of Britain's banking system, things are still not back to normal. The UK's third biggest bank, Barclays, today said it needed to ask for another $9 billion from its shareholders to keep regulators happy. The Bank of England had ordered it to strengthen its capital reserves in case of any future market shocks. Well, the BBC's business editor, Robert Peston, has been talking to Barclays chief executive, Anthony Jenkins, about the bank's strategy.
One of the things that's been affecting the valuation of Barclays over the last few years is the concern about the future direction of regulation. These measures materially reduce that concern, they reduce uncertainty, and it will allow us to go forward and make Barclays a more investable proposition for our shareholders. And I think our shareholders will accept that and will back what we're doing here.
Now, you've made it your mission to clean up the culture of Barclays. How are you getting on?
I think we're making good progress on that, Robert. As you know, in January, we launched our new values and behaviours. Over 133,000 of our colleagues around the world have spent half a day thinking about what that really means for them in their day-to-day work. 150 of our senior leaders are currently going through a two-day training program on how to lead the organisation in line with our new culture and values and behaviours. So we're making very good progress. And I think that over the coming months and years, our customers and society will begin to see a different Barclays emerge, a Barclays that I call the go-to bank. And what we're announcing today is an important part of that journey because it reduces the uncertainty around the institution.
I mean, Barclays customers tell me they haven't yet felt a big change. When will they see and experience a different bank?
Well, I think customers are seeing a change, and I think that change will accelerate over time as we deploy our new initiatives, as the culture really takes bite. This is not about Barclays having a bad culture. There's no doubt that we did get some things wrong in the past, and I've said publicly that we were too self-centered, we were too aggressive, we were too short-term on occasion. But this is about taking the great things that exist at Barclays and building on them so that we can really become the go-to bank for all of our customers and clients.
And putting recklessly negligent bankers in jail, as the Banking Standards Commission recommended, is that a good idea?
Well, I think that's a matter for society, Robert, but I believe there should be accountability. So I think if people do things that are wrong, they should be accountable for that. But obviously, it's got to be proportionate to the offence. So I think it's a matter for society to frame legislation around those sorts of things.
Anthony Jenkins from the go-to bank, or maybe go-to jail bank. So Barclays is making changes, but are they the kind of changes which will impress the ordinary man or woman on the street? Do they perceive the culture of banking improving now?
No, there is no improvement. They're still doing things exactly the same way they do, just not being more open about it. I'd like to see them more accountable. They should have a license to work in the banking industry. And if they have done something that's so catastrophically wrong, lost the bank money, then that license should be removed, and therefore they cannot work in the banking industry ever again.
No, not really. I haven't seen any change at all. Nothing that sort of affects me. You know, they're sort of big bosses, big bonuses, etc., and they don't think about the little person, you know, and the problems that they suffer.
None at all. No change whatsoever. In fact, they hinder any access to any potential funds you might be able to. You would have been able to claim from them in the past. I think if you take banking culture 50 years ago, there was a lot more natural respect for other people's money.
Not at all. In fact, it seems to be going the opposite way. They seem to be much less able to talk to you on a personal level and understand your personal circumstances.
OK, so we'll take that as a no then. Roger Bootle is from Capital Economics. Does he detect anything new in the way banks might do business in the future?
I think there are some real signs of cultural change. It's just that it takes a long time, frankly, for that to filter down to the operational level. I've noticed that a number of advertisements for banks are now advertising the idea of continuity and customer service and loyalty and looking after people and so on and so forth. Whether the reality on the ground has changed or not, I don't know. But the fact that they're advertising in that way suggests that they know that there's a change of culture that's needed.
Yeah, it's one thing advertising it and another thing believing it, isn't it? I mean, you heard what people say there. There's still this feeling among the public, certainly, that nothing's changed, that banks don't really acknowledge they've anything to answer for, no intention of doing much about it, don't see why they should be held to account, and really can't wait to be able to get back to doing what they do best, which is what they were doing before the wheels came off.
a large part of the problem, I think, arises at the top, because you've still got a significant number of bankers who don't acknowledge just quite how serious a contribution the banks themselves made to the financial crisis. And, of course, you've got people further down the organisation. You've got to remember that you've had now a culture in go-go culture in banking now for, what, 30 or 40 years probably. We know some of the really big names who made it to the top. We don't know a lot of the intermediate names who were nevertheless made their careers and had their promotions during that era. Those people will have grown up with what we would now regard as completely the wrong attitudes. And they've either got to have a substantial attitude change themselves, or they're going to have to be replaced. I think this is largely a generational thing. I think it'll take a long time to turn the banks around.
Well, Barclays is talking about how it's transformed itself. It says it wants to be thought of as the go-to bank. Would you go to it?
I would be immensely suspicious about all of the banks. The point is, it's going to take a very long time for culture really to change. Now, Barclays is a case where, on the face of it, it's changed a lot because the top people have all changed. The people who were in charge in the go-go years have all gone. It comes back to this point, what's happening further down the bank? The people you don't know about, the culture of those people has to change.
Yeah, you suspect that they may be made in the image of the people who've gone.
I don't know what the position is in Barclays. I just know it takes a very long time to change the culture of a whole organisation. I mean, there were examples of this in the countries of the former Soviet Union. I mean, out went the Soviet system, in came this new super-duper capitalist system. Who did you find running the super-duper capitalist system? Well, the same people who were running the Soviet system. All the old KGB people and party apparatchiks were there making money for themselves in the new system. So I think there's something similar here. It takes a long time to turn this particular ship round.
That's Roger Bootle. Brian Tora is from the stockbrokers JM Finn, and he joins us now. Brian, are you convinced by what Barclays has been saying?
I agree with Roger. It's very difficult to see how quickly these changes can be made. And indeed, the market has said it all today. They marked Barclays shares down by 6%. That was the biggest faller on the FTSE 100 index. Now, admittedly, a lot of that is due to the fact that they're going cap in hand to their shareholders for £6 billion, $9 billion. And of course, they're going to have to raise still more by issuing bonds. So the short-term effect has been that, you know, gosh, we're going to have to stump up more money to keep this bank afloat. The longer term result, I think, will take a long while to come through.
Lest anyone suspect that we're picking on Barclays, it's not the only bank in the news today. Deutsche Bank, for similar reasons.
Deutsche Bank, too, they're also acting on their balance sheet. This is all to do with the rules that have been introduced to try to make banks less susceptible to collapse in the event of another financial crisis, such as that we had in 2007 and 2008. It still means that banks are highly leveraged. It still means there are risks there. But the risks perhaps have lessened a little, and it applies to most banks. Let's be honest about this. You're quite right. It's not just Barclays. Barclays happens to have been in the firing line because of the LIBOR scandal and the very big fine that was meted out to them. That's the cultural issue, but it applies to all banks that they're having to look at their balance sheets and raise more money.
OK, we'll give the banks a rest for a moment then, Brian. Let's talk about BP, the possibility of it running out of the money that it has, the compensation money for victims of the Gulf disaster.
Well, BP ran Barclays a close third, to be fair, in terms of fallers on the FTSE 100. And that was in a day when share prices overall were rising. This is partly down to their results. They posted lower than the second quarter profits last year and indeed than the first quarter profits this year, though a little bit like banks, it's always very difficult to know exactly what the true profits are. The real message, though, was that they'd set aside £20 billion to pay off claims under the Gulf of Mexico disaster. They've only got £300 million left. What they've said is that if there are claims beyond that £300 million, then they will charge them to the profit and loss account in the years in which they arise. But they're also very concerned that a lot of these claims are spurious. They shouldn't be paying out at all.
Brian, thanks very much indeed. That's Brian Tora from the stockbrokers JM Finn.
For more interviews and analysis of global business, search for BBC World Business Report for our daily half-hour podcast.